So, like I said, we're going to be kicking off our part two of our My Shepherd. It's our Psalms 23 series. And last week, Anthony really kicked it off talking about what meditation is, why is it important for us as Christians to meditate, how we kind of, as Christians, are kind of scared of the word meditate because we automatically think of like Eastern religion, you know, New Age stuff. But in reality, how God's purpose for the Christian, for the follower of Christ, was to meditate on his word. In the Bible, it says that throughout the Old Testament, he's talking about meditate on my precepts, listen to my word, do this. And so I have a little slide here that's going to show us what meditation is really quick. It's just a definition so we can all kind of take a look and see. Ooh, that's not the right one, but that's okay. It's okay. So it's going to talk about meditation and what it is. It's in the app if you guys want to look at the app too. So we kicked it off by doing Psalms 23 last week, but Anthony had a challenge. So he challenged someone to memorize Psalms 23, and you would get a prize, just like in Sunday school, because apparently, as grown-ups, we need prizes and be bribed to memorize Scripture. So has anybody memorized Psalms 23 from last week? He said they have to call on someone, so I don't want you to be embarrassed. So does anybody have it memorized? Anthony, you're slacking. I had a really cool prize, too. It's a one-of-a-kind FC water bottle. Never been used. It's amazing. So I guess you can... Oh, do you have it memorized? That's okay. It counts. It counts, Michaela. Come on. Give her a hand. It counts. So, overachiever. Super Christian. So it counts. It counts, Michaela. Don't cheat.
I won't. Okay.
Just trying to cheat. All right.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He lays me beside,
You're right.
Yeah, I got it.
You're right, go.
He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a meal for me in the presence of my enemies. You restore my soul.
You anoint
my head with oil.
My cup
overflows.
Yes.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
She wins. So there's going to be some other cool things going to be given away. So next week, you better get that memorized, guys, because we're keeping sticker charts. And Michaela's got a gold star. So I'm looking for Casey, but he's not in here yet. Okay, so last week, Anthony had us do some other things that we don't normally do as a church, as we all recited Psalms 23, because this whole idea of meditation is to really meditate on God's word and to like dig into it and read it and really focus on it. And so we're going to do it a couple times together. It's going to be on the screen. We're going to recite Psalm 23 together as a group two times, but we're going to do it once, slowly. Everybody, I want everybody to do it together because I really want us to focus in and to just really start this off, because I believe that God is changing lives through this series, and I believe that God wants us to know him more. And as Christians, if we don't know God's word, we don't really know him. And so I want us to take this time and do it together. All right, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so we are going to do that again in just 1 second, but I just really, this next time, I want you guys to start placing yourself in that passage. Where do you see yourself as we read through it again? Kind of picture yourself in that passage and how are you in that, how are you the shepherd. How are you the sheep? You're not the shepherd. How are you the sheep? How is he leading you? Where is he leading you? I really want us to like get this picture in our mind, because that's going to help us a little bit this morning as we break down the section that we're going to be breaking down. So we're going to do it again, and you guys are doing great, so you all got half a star, so let's do it again so you can get the whole one. All right, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Give yourself a hand. You guys did a great job. Keep clapping because I have to. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. You guys are really good listeners. I'm really proud. All right. So I am going to kind of go over a little bit of what Anthony went over last week, because he was talking about Psalms 23, 1 through 3a, and I'm going to go over that little passage because it leads right into 3b, is which we're going to be focusing on today. And so it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And last week, Anthony showed a picture, this really classic picture of Jesus with all these sheep. And my first thought is, sheep are dumb. They are the dumbest animals. I had sheep. And so for me, sometimes I get offended when God refers to us as sheep. But then I'm like, well, come on. I've made some real great choices in my life. So I get it. But sheep literally will drown in a mud puddle of water. They have to be guided. They have to have limits. They have to have boundaries. They will wander off. They will get killed. They will walk right off of a cliff. They will stand in the field that's flooding and not move and just drown and die, lay over and die. So sheep are not the sharpest tools in the shed. And so when I was looking at that picture, I was like, what sheep am I? And there's this one that's like, doo-doo-doo, like kind of looking off in its own world. I'm like, yep, that's me. Everybody's going this way. Here's Ladina. What's going on? I'm kind of just always all over the place and just not really focused in sometimes. And that's kind of me as a sheep. And so I was just referring that. So I'm telling you guys what I got out of this passage. So you guys will know when it gets to be the other part of it, you'll know how to kind of put yourself in it. And so when I look at the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I think about all the things that God, he's going to provide everything for me. He's my shepherd. Shepherds take care of their sheep. And then those days, they would guide them in these pens, and they would have to be diligent, not so the foxes and the wolves and the lions, and they wouldn't kill them and eat them. And so I know God's going to protect me. And then the next part says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And I think about that. I'm like, oh, that's so nice, lying down in green pastures. But then I look, he makes me. And I don't know about you, but sometimes God has to make me rest, because I am so busy doing things for Jesus that I forget that I need to rest and take time and just rest in him and who he is. I'm that sheep looking over God knows where, and he's like, Ladina, slow down, rest, spend time with me, make time for me. And God literally just kind of, during that message last week, hit me upside the head with the staff and was like, come on, Ladina, pay attention here. You need to rest. And so for me, that's really important, because I think we all get busy. We're all so busy. We don't have time to read our Bible. We're so busy. We don't have time to pray. We're so busy. We don't have time to do mission trips. We're so busy. But God is saying, stop. If you're going to be so busy, focus on me. Do it for me. Let's focus on him first, and then he will allow us to do the things he's called us to do. Said that he leads me beside still waters. And so Jesus is leading us beside still waters. He's leading me beside still waters. And the passage we're going to talk about is he leads me in paths of righteousness. But the word lead just kept coming to my mind. Leads, he leads, he leads. But he's going to lead us, but it's up to us to follow. So we can be led. They say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You can lead a sheep beside still waters, but you can't make them take a minute and rest in the grass or take a sip of his refreshingness. And so the whole point today, God wants to show us is that he's leading us, but it's up to us to follow. So the other thing when we're meditating, we have to remember is that you can't take scripture out of context. And Pastor Anthony did such a great job talking about he can make the Bible say whatever he wants it to say. And if we're not good sheep and we're not listening to reading God's word and diving into it for ourselves, we're like, yeah, all right. And he could be leading us astray. He's not. He's not. But he could be. If you're not reading, you don't know. How are you going to know that? So the next slide is going to be the meditation card that we had on our seats last week. And if you guys need one or want one, let me know. I can print some more. But it's in the app as well. And we're going to go over, I'm going to go over really quick how to meditate on the scriptures. And the first thing is simple. Just read the text. We've done that. Studying its meaning and context. Scripture must interpret scripture. You can't take things out of context. You have to, it has to be in line with what God's word says. The next step is applying it to our life. And then the next one, number four, is imagine yourself in the text. Kind of what I was trying to encourage you guys to do earlier. And then you breaking it down into sections, visualizing, touch, put yourself in the text. Memorize the passage, thinking the things above. So you memorizing it, that's what we're encouraging you guys to do, memorize Psalms 23, and then recite it, the passage regularly. And I was reading over this list, I was like, do you know how much time this is going to waste? I'm just going to be real with you. I was like, I don't have time for this. And Jesus is like, yeah, you do. And as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about how I personally have gotten away from my own meditation and how I'm up here sharing with you about meditation, but God is using it to remind me how important it is. I was, a few months ago, I was just like, oh, I'm just reading God's word, like, daily, and I was meditating on it, and I was praying daily, and I was just taking time to spend with God. And you know what I noticed a lot when I was doing that? I didn't yell at my kids as much. I know it's hard to believe for some of you, but it's true. I didn't. If you met my kids, you would know. But I didn't. I wasn't as anxious. I wasn't worried all the time that the bottom was going to fall out of my life. I didn't struggle as much. I just was more confident in what God had for me. And it's because I was taking time. I was resting in him. I feel like that sheep he was carrying because I felt so close to him. And there's so many times in our lives that we say like, yes, I received Jesus. Oh, phew, done. Jesus in my heart. All right, see you later, Jesus. I got to go do this now. But that's not what it's about. If that was your idea of Christianity, sorry, spoil alert, that's not it. That's not what being a Christian is. Being a Christian is following Christ and to follow him as he leads us in his word. And this sounds really cheesy. I know, I'm sorry, it's a super cheesy Christianese I'm going to say for you this morning is that we all say we don't have time to do this. We can't afford to do this, but you cannot not afford to do this. If you don't take time for Christ, you're not getting to know him. If you have a friend that you never speak with and you never talk with and you never hang out with, they're not your friend. They're really not your friend. You don't know who they are. How are you going to know what God's will for your life is if you're not reading his word? How are you going to know what Jesus thinks about things if you don't know what his Bible says? And I'm talking to myself too. And I did youth group for a while and I would tell them every week, I'd be like, if you don't read God's word, you're not going to know who he is. And our world is going, you know, to pot. And we have to know what the Bible says so we can stand for the truth. Because there is going to come a day where we're going to have to stand for truth. And if you don't know what the Bible says, how are you going to know where you're going to stand? And so today as we read this next section of Psalms 23, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to kind of put yourself in it. And I'm going to ask you to share. I know Anthony says it was tricky, but last week you guys did so great, and so I know you're just going to do great this week too. Psalms 23b says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so I want us just to think that through and read it through. Again, I'm going to read it slower. And it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Does anybody want to share kind of like what you see in that verse? Like how does that look in your life? What does that look like to you? And I will call you out on this if you don't raise your hand. Tyler is raising his hand. I see. Yeah, he is. So Tyler's back there, like fourth row. He's raising his hand. I saw his hand go up, so it must be raising his hand.
Seriously, what's the question?
It's, again? How do you see yourself in this verse? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
I mean, essentially, we're his legacy. So whatever we do needs to be for him and with him. And the only way to be righteous is through Christ. So he has to be the one to lead us through that.
Good job. See? Not hard. Good job, Tyler. That's good. And does anybody else have an idea or a thought of how this applies to their life? Somebody in the back over there. Pay attention, Casey.
Please forgive me if I start to cry. But this verse here reminds me, last year I was with my father who had a heart attack and got an infection and a triple bypass. So he had to go to another hospital and they tried to fix it. But while I was there, and I was there for days, my dad was in the hospital for like 115 days. Oh. And every day I would pray not only for my dad, but people, as I was walking through the hospital, I would just say, Lord, just touch them, help them. And it's really hard for me to talk in front of people and to people I don't know. And he would just lead me to certain people to let them know, hey, I am here. I love you. And I will be with you through this time in your life. And through that, I met a lot of wonderful people who were like, oh, thank you so much for those words. I needed that now. And one of the people I met, her son was in a really bad car accident. He's still healing. But we were able to pray with each other and encourage each other and lean upon each other when we needed each other. And I'm sorry this is going long. And the other day, my husband was going in for a doctor check. And one of the people I met at the hospital, whose mom had a heart attack and had died several times on the way to the hospital, she was sitting there and we were talking. And she's like, I need you in my life. Can I have your phone number? Wow. And so I was able to do that. And God has just showed me, because I stepped out of my comfort zone for him, I was able to bless others in his name, and not because of who I am, but because of who he is.
Yeah.
And that's what that verse means to me.
That's
sorry,
really,
it was so
no,
long.
It's okay. That's awesome. I think we're done now. We can just pray. And because that's basically my message, so you're that's good. Does one more person want to share before I move on? Micah.
When I read this verse and how it applies to me, it emphasizes that there are more than one paths to choose. Mm-hmm. And myself, I have a habit of like having a situation and giving it to God. Okay, God, it's all yours. Fix it. And then I go, but wait a minute, I can, you know, tweak it this way, or I can do this, and let me take this back for, let me just show you how I think it should be done. And I just think that the choice is you have several paths that you can choose. And the one that you need to take is the one that he's leading you down.
Yeah, that's good. Exactly. When I look at this verse, I have a really great story about this, but you're going to have to wait till the end, and it's good. So hang in there. So stay awake. When I look at this, I look at what Micah was saying is that there is multiple paths that we could choose. But God says that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It doesn't say that he leads us in easy paths for our name's sake. It says he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So sometimes those paths are not easy. Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they just suck. Sorry, but it's true. And sometimes we don't want to go down them. We're just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't go down this anymore. I can't do this anymore. But it's for his name's sake. It's to bring glory to God. And those are the times we're going to talk about in a little bit, is where we're growing. It's where we're pruning off the stuff that we need to get pruned off so that we can be more like Christ to reach others for Christ. Christ, because that's the purpose. I know downstairs the kids are all learning about the Great Commission and how Jesus sent us out on the Great Commission, and it's just so amazing. These little guys in these classes can memorize and do all these things, and they know about Jesus, and they know what they're doing. And last week at the beach, I asked, she's in the bubbles room, but I don't remember how old she is, but Estella is her name. And I said, hey, what did you learn in kids' church? And she told me, and then I asked this little girl, Molly, and I was like, hey, what did you learn in kids' church? And they're in the bubbles, which is 4s and 5-year-olds. And she's like, well, we learned how Jesus had to go to heaven, and it's our job that we need to tell people about Jesus now. And I was like, preach. You got it. You got next week, right, Molly? And so it was just really cool because they're learning that. But then I look at myself and I look at my life and it's like, man, we're teaching our kids to get all excited, but I'm not that excited sometimes. And sometimes I fail miserably on my job and what I am supposed to do. And I don't want to make you guys feel bad this morning or feel like down on yourself, but I want us to think about what our job is and what God has called us to do. Because it's more than just sitting here in chairs and listening to amazing worship and making ourselves feel good. That's not what this life is about. And so we're going to read Psalms 33:5. It says, he loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. And so that's just, again, referring to Jesus is righteous. He's just. God is righteous. He's just. He is full of love for us, and he wants us to share that love to others. And then in Psalms 5:8, it says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your ways straight before me. And so that's David crying out. Make your way straight before me. He's asking God, God, make the path clear so I know where I'm going. And maybe some of you guys are in here today and you're like, I don't know what path I'm supposed to choose. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Cry out to God. Ask him, God, show me where I'm supposed to go. What do you want me to do? And you're like, Ladina, I've done that. Okay, he's not talking to me. Are you reading his word? Are you praying? Are you actually reading his word? Because he will share with you. Are you listening? Are you just half listening and sort of reading his word? Are we focusing on the path that he's leading us? This next part of the scripture says, look at for his name's sake. So for God's name's sake. And I was thinking about that. And I'm always reminded how in the Bible God says that he can't lie, that he is faithful, he is steadfast, he has us. And so in Psalms 25:11 it says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. And then in Psalms 31:3 it says, for you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and you guide me. For his name's sake, for his glory. Not for our glory, but for his glory. I think sometimes we get in this mindset that we're here to be comfortable and we're here to just be in a bed of roses, and that's not true. And it kind of sucks, and it's hard, but it's worth it in the end. It's worth it in the end to see one person get shown who Jesus is through your testimony. Just like you were sharing about God using you in the hospital and Jesus using you to reach others. He was leading you in paths of righteousness that were uncomfortable, but it was for his glory. And people's lives were changed because of your obedience. Hang in there, I'm almost to my story. But before I get there, I want to talk about some people in the Bible who, just some examples really quick, and they're all stories that you may have heard of, you may not have heard of, but the first one is Abraham. And this story is found in Genesis 12 through 25, and I don't have it on the screen, but chapters 12 through 25, we're not going to read them all, don't worry. But I'm just going to give you kind of like a rundown about this guy. Here's a guy, Abraham, who had to leave everything that he knew. He had to leave his family because God told him that he had a land for him. He had a purpose for him, and it was away from his family. He had to leave it and go to a new land. Here's a guy whose name was Abram, which means the exalted father. And then God said, oh, I'm going to change your name to Abraham, which means father of many. But he was childless until he was like almost 100 years old. Can you imagine how he felt? Like, your name's Abraham? Oh, how many kids you have? Zero? That would have been a really big deal back there because your name had meaning. Here's a guy who was tested and see if he will sacrifice his son, if he's going to be faithful to God, the one son. Well, he had two sons, but the son God promised, Isaac, he said, here, sacrifice him to me. Here's a guy who had to be tested down that path if he was going to be faithful and give up his only child that he had. See, Abraham knew that God had promises for him. But God made all these, he made promises to Abraham. He said, you're going to be the father of many. You're going to have more descendants than stars in the sky. You're going to have this land. You're going to have all this stuff. But Abraham didn't get to see any of that come to pass. He just played a small part in the story. In the very beginning of the story and the Israelites and the tribe of Israel, he just played the beginning part, and he didn't get to see the end. He sees it now, but he didn't get to see it then. So he had to walk down this path of righteousness that was not easy. It was hard. I mean, this is the guy who said his wife was a sister, got into some trouble because he was afraid he was going to get killed. You know, he was not perfect. He had hard times. He made mistakes just like we make, but he knew that he had to walk in this path that God had called him to walk for God's glory, not for Abraham's. The next guy I want to talk about real quick is Joseph. And his story is found in Genesis 37 through 50. And Joseph is kind of part of Abraham's story because he's the descendant of Abraham's children. And here's a guy, Joseph, who was hated by his brother. So they sold him as a slave. Then he was lied about and ended up in prison. Then he was forgotten in prison. And then God used him to save the nation, Abraham's descendants. And his path, I guarantee you, probably didn't feel righteous sometimes. It probably felt like he was alone. He was forgotten. It was hard. He wanted to give up. But he didn't. And God used it to glorify him, not to glorify Joseph. We see Joseph, read about him, but the hero in the story is not Joseph. The hero in the story is not Abraham. The hero is God. The hero is Jesus, because he won, and he overcame sin, death, and hell. And Jesus is the last one I'm going to talk about real quick as an example of this idea of paths of righteousness for God's name's sake, for his name's sake. And I think about Jesus, and I think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying and he's sweating drops of blood and he's saying, God, please, if this can pass from me, let it pass, because I don't want to do this. I can't do this. But he said, but what did he say? He said, your will be done, God. Your will be done. Not my will, but your will. Because Jesus knew it was the only way for us to have a relationship with God was for him to die on that cross. So he went down that path. He wasn't jumping for joy. He wasn't signing up. He was literally sweating drops of blood. And so when we look at these different accounts in the Bible, we can see how crazy this whole idea of following Jesus for his name's sake, him leading us down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And like I said, it's not going to be easy all the time, but it's going to be righteous. It's going to build us up. So what do we need to do? What does this even mean? How does this even look? How do we even go from here? We need to rejoice when it's hard. Just like the song we sang, honestly. We need to rejoice when it's hard. When we can't see the end in sight, we need to raise our hallelujah. We need to remember God's promise. We need to dig into his word. We need to be meditating. We need to be spending time with him. People, that's what God wants from us. He wants relationship. He didn't want a one-time, raise your hand time deal. He wanted a relationship with us. And remember that it is for God's glory. It's not for our glory. It's for God's glory. And the biggest thing to remember for me is that God is not a liar. He is faithful, and he says what he said. He does what he says he's going to do. It's hard to say. But he does. God keeps his promise. Does that mean that I'm going to have an amazing mansion and 17 cars and 27 horses and 3 little goats? No, it doesn't mean that. But God is going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to make sure that I have what I need and sometimes what I want, because he throws those in there because he cares about us and he loves us and it's important to him. I really want pygmy goats. Not in my trailer. But anyways, God does keep his word. He is faithful. He will keep his promises. So when your path gets rocky, when you feel like there's nothing you can do, when you feel like giving up, when you feel like you literally can't go any further, press into him. Say, God, lead me in your path. What path am I taking? Where are you taking me? Where am I going? So get yours ready. It's an amazing story, guys. So as you can tell, I love exercise and love to hike. Some of you guys have heard of this hike called Cascade Head. That's not what I call it. Yeah. Let me tell you something. One, we're told never to talk to the audience. Two, Pastor Anthony speaks God's truth. He is 100% listening to God, always listens to God's word. I trust him 120 billion percent when he's preaching the word. About hikes, he is a liar. He does not tell the truth. It is not easy. I almost died twice on a hike with our interns in our group. One time, Pastor Anthony had to save my life. I almost died. I'm not even lying. It's true. It was a horrible experience that I do not want to repeat. And I don't want it on film, so I'm not telling you. Anyways, let me go back to Cascade Hike, because that wasn't even that hike I almost died on. It was a different one. Angel's Rest. All right. But Cascade Hike is literally the hike from hell. I'm not lying. I'm not blowing this out of proportion. I started off on this hike, and I was like, oh, it's okay. It's beautiful trees, nice. Oh, gosh, there's some stairs. That's going to be rough. They're kind of getting high. Then it kind of levels out. Nice water, a little bridge, sweet, nice. Oh, that's nice. This incline's a little rough. It's okay. So then you get to the halfway point. Oh, this view is beautiful. This is amazing. This is an amazing view. I love it. It's so pretty. Oh, there's another 20 hours of hike to get to the top of the hill. And it is switchbacks. Does anybody know what a switchback is? It's so that you don't have to go straight up the hill, but you might as well go straight up the hill. For some reason, when I go hiking, I always forget to bring like socks or hiking shoes, so I always have to buy them when we're at the coast. So that's always nice to break in new shoes on a hike or not have socks. So anyways, we're walking up these switchbacks, and they're like, dun, 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 like that. So I'm getting to the end, and I'm just like quoting the Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I was saying other things that wasn't very righteous. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm climbing these hikes, and this is literally what I think about when I read this passage of scripture. I think about leads me in paths of righteousness. I wasn't very righteous on that hike. But I was climbing these switchbacks, and I would get to the very top. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just know this is the top of the hill. No, it's not. 27 more switchbacks. Then we get to the top of the hill. It's cloudy. Can't see anything. Raining. And I'm like, really? That was the first time. I've done the hike twice, I know, but the second time I did not go to the top. Because let me tell you a secret about Cascade Head. You can see the same view from the halfway point. Same view. It looks the same. Also, let me tell you a secret about Cascade Head that I found out the second time. There's a road you can drive to the top. So, you don't have to hike it. So, that is why most of the time we do hikes, I do homework on those days. Okay, here's the big idea. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God sometimes will lead us in these paths that don't feel righteous. And they are hard. And they are bumpy. And they suck. And that is just the truth. But what are they meant to do? They're meant to bring us closer to him. They're meant to actually be a blessing. Because they're meant to grow us so that we can reach more people for him. God is faithful. His character is not a liar, like I said earlier. He promises that he will work it out for our good. And so the worship team is going to come up here, and I'm going to read one more passage of scripture, and then we're going to spend some time just praying and focusing on what God has for us. Almost. All right. Okay. Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And for those who are called according to his purpose." Sometimes you may not feel like everything's working together for your good. You may not even feel like you're called according to his purpose. But let me tell you something. If you've made that decision to accept Christ as your Savior, if you're following him, you are called. It's time to get out of the seats and time to get busy with what God wants us to do. It's time to get meditating. It's time to get pressing into his word. Because you cannot grow if you are not reading God's word. You will not grow. Because that is our food. That is how we grow in Christ. We can come to church, hear a great message, not by me, but, you know, great message. But that's just a little bit of, like, toppings on a salad, like the croutons, the best part that you're not supposed to eat. That's what the Sunday morning message is. But you need your steak, and you need your potatoes, or if you're carb-free, you need your sweet potato or your yam or whatever, your brown rice, whatever it is. You need that during the week, and that is the meat. That is God's word. You need to be doing that. It's not my job. It's not our leader's job. It's not Pastor Anthony's job to feed us. We have to feed ourselves. He gives us little toppings and treats sometimes on the weekends, but it's our job to take that home and to meditate it and to read it over and to really dig in and see what God has for us. And so I want everybody just to close your eyes right now. This is just, I want us all to focus in. I'm sweating right now thinking about that hike, so I got to calm down. Not joking. All right. Okay. Jesus is not going to leave us high and dry. Even when the road does not feel very righteous, we have to remember that the end result is to bring glory to God. So as we end our service in prayer tonight, maybe you're here today and you've never asked God to lead you at all. Maybe you're like, I've never taken the steps to follow Christ, and he's not leading me. He's not my shepherd. And if that's you here today, I want to pray with you, because that is the best/hardest decision that you'll ever make in your whole life. But it is worth it. You can hear thousands of testimonies of people's lives who were changed upside down for Christ, and he used them in amazing ways to reach thousands of people. But maybe you're here today and you're saying, God, I know you're leading me, but I just don't feel like I'm ready to follow. You're being rebellious. You're not listening. You're being disobedient. And when my kids act like that, they get into a little bit of trouble. God is here today. He's lovingly shepherd. He's taking his staff and he's trying to lead you down this path, but you're fighting him. And he said, my sheep, my child, it's time to stop fighting me. It's time to start following me. Just like Mike said, you can't do it on your own. You're not going to make better choices than God, so stop trying. He is the one that needs to lead you. It's time to start allowing God to lead us and stop trying to lead him. God, I just thank you for today. God, I just pray as this room, we're just focusing in on you, God, and then we're just really trying to figure out, God, this passage of what you have for us, how you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, for your glory. God, I just pray for anybody in this room, Lord, that maybe is fighting you right now, God, that is in rebellion, that is not listening, that is actually being disobedient. God, I pray that you will soften our hearts. God, you are loving and kind. So right now, God, I just pray for those who are fighting. I pray for those who are not wanting to follow 100% because they don't want to leave behind some things that's in the other pasture. But God, you're calling us to you. You're calling us to take these steps to grow to you. That is what we're trying to do. We're trying to grow so that we can be used by you, so you can be glorified. And if there's anybody here today that maybe you, like I said, you've never called on Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that now, God, to do that now. So if that's you today, maybe you haven't asked Jesus in your heart, you haven't followed him, if that's you online, I want to take a second and just pray with you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But if that's you and you want to take that choice, that next step in your life, will you just slip your hand up so I can pray with you? There's people in the back that are back there to pray with you, to give you a Bible, to give you some information. And if you've taken that next step and you're watching online, I want to ask you, just send us a message through Facebook, through email, so we can reach out to you, so we can give you information of the choice that you just made. And I want to say congratulations if you've made that choice, because your life is never going to be the same. That's awesome. But God, as we conclude our service, I pray that as we sing these next few songs, God, that you will just turn us inside out, God. I pray that if there's rooting that needs to be done, God, that you will do that you will dig up the root, God, that you will get rid of it, that you will begin to just help us see that you, when you forgive us, God, that you don't see it anymore. You don't remember it. It says you throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. So, God, I just pray as we worship you that you will just meet us here, Lord, and that we could just be with you, Lord, and be used by you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.